It's time once again for maybe not an exciting, but an interesting, yes, very interesting episode of, well, you know, I'll take it back. I think it is exciting. It's exciting to go and try to break barriers, to take risk and chances that you would not normally take. That's exciting. It may not be so exciting to you, the two people that are listening to me, but it is exciting to me. Who is me? Me? I am Katie Winkler, who writes this strange poddle called Campus, a novel that wants to be a musical. I hope you enjoy it. You're not going to understand it, though, unless you go back and listen to the other episodes if you have not already done so. Listen to them so that you'll know what's going on. And remember, it's a satire. Episode 10. It had been a long, long morning for Dr. Dagg. After all, a whole semester had gone by since he had spent so much time with so many students. He had forgotten how tiring it was to be the chancellor of a community college. It really was a lot of responsibility. It was really all on his shoulders, wasn't it? Having to juggle so many things, like announcing the different performances and groups at the orientation club rush registration day. Then there was taking orders, listening to Mr. Mediocrity and Ms. Sabowski, of course. Then there was telling the faculty what to do and them not liking it. All the whining and complaining. It was a good thing he had scheduled a long second lunch with Ms. Sabowski before the big Spooky Cat Head Biscuits welcome back concert that evening. Plus, the shadowy figure of Mr. Mediocrity was not currently lurking in his darkness anywhere. That made it all the nicer. He needed the time with Ms. Sabowski, and it was wonderful. But because of Mr. Sabowski, and probably because she wouldn't really have anything to do with him if he made a move, Ms. Sabowski couldn't satisfy all his needs as an educator, a leader, a man, if you know what I mean. There was something more he needed, something that was just between him and Ms. Sabowski, but didn't depend too much on Ms. Sabowski's actual participation or presence. But there is some consolation in having a shared secret, though, isn't there? Dr. Dagg always waited until later in the day. When classes were in session, there was always a lag in the afternoon. Always open for business, naturally. One of the first things Dr. Dagg had instituted when he became chancellor was 24/7 services. All full-time faculty members were required to be on call all of the time. One of the most amusing parts of his jobs was emailing one of the fairy god teachers at 11:30 at night, posing as a student, and waiting to see how quickly they responded. Classes were scheduled from 7 a.m. until 10 p.m. each day. Of course, students, especially in online classes, might have questions at 1 a.m. if they worked the late shift at the toy factory. So instructors of those classes wore an ankle monitor that gave just a slight shock to gently wake up the instructor so any student could ask their very important question, like, "Why haven't I got my grade yet? I turned in that 15-page essay that was due a week ago at 10 p.m. tonight. And it's now 1 a.m. the next day, and I still don't know the grade." Oh, I think my narrator is showing again. But enough about me. back to Ms. Sabowski, truly one of the most beautiful elves who ever walked the planet. Dark hair and eyes, velvety brown skin, trim athletic body, long shapely legs and arms, perfectly formed ears that came to a slightly rounded, subtle tip. Still elvish, but a tribute to her human heritage from her mountain grandmother's side of the family. Dr. Dagg knew Ms. Sabowski would be waiting at her large, expansive secretarial desk made out of mahogany that he had specially ordered, secretly using funds from the Student Emergency Loan and Grant Fund. The financial aid department's forms were so complicated that the funds were hardly ever given to any student, so he felt no compunction. And it had made Ms. Sabowski so happy. She wouldn't have liked it if she knew the money came from the fund, but what she didn't know would not, as they say, hurt her. And she was happy. Wish you could say the same for Mr. Sabowski. But she sweet-talked him into letting her keep the desk. As long as Ms. Sabowski could take a long lunch with him 3 days a week. To keep the peace and all his teeth, Dr. Dagg agreed. So, after the long second lunch, after he let her out so she could run to the office and get everything ready, after he parked his silver Lexus GX450 with its wood and leather trimmed heated steering wheel, his favorite feature, he headed slowly up the stairs to where she would be waiting for him. There she was, sitting at the desk, beautiful in her royal blue and gold, school colors, of course. He went up to the desk, planted his hands on the smooth, glossy wood, and leaned forward. "Well, is everything ready?" "Of course it's ready." She batted her long, luscious eyelashes at him and stood. "Are you?" "Oh, Miss Sabowski." He came around the desk and grabbed her around the waist. She pushed him away. "My, my, feeling extra frisky this afternoon, aren't we?" "Extra frisky, yes." He tried to come closer to her, but she held up her hand and wagged one long, perfectly manicured finger at him. "You know the rules, Daggy." That was her pet name for him. "You can look, but you can't touch." But I was reading online about obsolete educational theory, you know, learning styles, which has been debunked for, I don't know, 30 years at least. But many educators like me, I'm an educator, you know, still like to keep up with the old ways when it makes me look good. But I took a little test online about learning styles. And Ms. Sabowski was used to finishing his sentences, but she had no idea where this one was going this time. "What was I saying? I'm not sure." She put her hands on her hips. That wasn't helping him remember. Something about learning styles. Oh, yeah. I took that online quiz and found out I'm a tactile learner. Ms. Sabowski crossed her arms. That was distracting, too. Actually, everything that Ms. Sabowski did was distracting. When she did that, she kind of squished up her will. You know, that they sort of looked, well, she just looked so good, you know? She rolled her eyes. Tactile learner. "Yes," he longed to touch. "Touch, I mean, best by touching. I learn best by touching." "Interesting." She uncrossed her arms. "I'll have to tell Mr. Sabowski about that." No. "I mean, that's not necessary." "Good. You ready?" Miss Sabowski crooked her finger, turned, and entered the chancellor's office. Somewhat cowed, Dr. Dagg followed her. "Ready." A very grateful, and I mean grateful, alumna had donated a large amount of money for Dr. Dagg's office to be remodeled a few years previously. It had been expanded to include sitting area, including an extremely comfortable fold-out couch for those late nights and long days when there was no time for Dr. Dagg to go home to his mansion and his shrewish but extremely rich wife. He could grab a little nappy on the couch. Another unusual feature of the office was the walk-in closet and the full bath with gold-plated fixtures, a shower, and a jacuzzi. The alumna, as I said, was very grateful. Ms. Sabowski went behind the large desk, also mahogany, and took out a file folder, a black military cap, a towel, a whip, and a bottle of Febreze. Dr. Dagg stood in the middle of the room and watched her, growing more and more excited by the moment. She began to move around the room, closing the blinds of the many large glass windows and talking as she completed her task. "Now you get it all out of your system, you hear? Because you have a very important meeting this afternoon." "I do?" Ms. Sabowski finished her task, turned and nodded. "Yes, indeed. But it's so late. I thought I would be almost done for the day." "Nope. He says it's too important to wait." Dr. Dagg's anticipated afternoon delight was swiftly waning.
You don't mean..."
"Yep, Mr. Mediocrity will be here at 3:30 on the nose." She looked at his crestfallen expression and smiled. "But you've got 20 minutes.
"You're sure? What if he comes early?"
"No worries. You know I will always keep this just between you and me." She patted his cheek and then his behind before leaving the office, closing the door softly behind her. He smiled and turned. "If this was a musical, like this novel wants to be, then Dr. Dagg would turn to the audience. The drums would begin to beat, and he would say before breaking into song, 'Just between me and Ms. Sabowski.'" "Just between me and Ms. Sabowski." The heavy downbeat of drums continues as Dr. Dagg stands in the middle of the room, his shapely legs shoulders width apart. The left foot lifts, the right hip dips, and his lip curls into an Elvis sneer. "I can't ever let anyone suspect that I might be politically incorrect." Slightly. He moves now to the beat of the drums, over to the desk, and lovingly caresses the cap, the towel, the whip, and the bottle of Febreze. "Dangerous for my profession, so it remains a private obsession. Just between me and Ms. Sabowski." He picks up the cap. It is black, with an eagle, wings outstretched on the front. Beneath the eagle is a little skull, but I can't help myself. The trumpets now join the drums as the music rises. As it reaches its height, Dr. Dagg places the cap carefully on his blonde head. We see clearly now. "I wanna be a Nazi." He hops up on the desk. "I want to have control." He picks up the whip. "I want to be a Nazi. Can't you just see me patrol?" He lovingly runs his hands up and down it. Up and down the hallways, all over the grounds. "I would strut and kick and have a parade in the coolest uniform ever." smacks the whip on the desk. He jumps off the desk and goes over to the walk-in closet. Still singing, he goes into the closet and brings out a pair of tall riding boots. He sits back on the desk and begins putting on one boot. But you don't really have to worry. It's only a foolish dream, I swear. There's not a mean bone in my body. But man, I wanna be a Nazi. And then he puts on the other boot. He runs his hand up and down the boot, then stops to look up at the audience. The music stops. Then there's a musical interlude. During the musical interlude, Dr. Dadge prances, yes, prances about the room, leaps, and jumps over to the mirror where he admires the cap, tries it at several different angles, and even puts it on backwards. Then he goes back over to the desk, hops up, grabs the towel, and begins polishing the boots. I wanna be a Nazi and have a little power. I wanna be a Nazi, but I'm kind of a coward, so I do everything the big wigs say for only six figures such miserable pay. He puts down the towel and takes up the whip again. He gets off the desk and walks in a circle, tapping the whip against his palm. He stops and smacks the whip against his boots and winces as he hits himself a bit too hard. Ouch. I don't care about religion or politics. I just want to be a Nazi. That's how I get my kicks. The music begins to build again. She runs his hand down his thigh, grabs the Velcro tabs in his side, and pulls, revealing the telltale poof of a Nazi-style riding jodhpur. The music stops and Dr. Dax says, yes, that's how I get my kicks. Musical interlude. He dances again. He goes into the closet and comes out with a long black coat and sings as he begins to put it on. I don't care about your ideology. I'm open to all philosophies. He smooths down the arms. The music slows down and he sings. But I tell you, there's not a mean bone in my body. But man, he pulls a Velcro tab on the sleeve and reveals a swastika. I want to be a Nazi. 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 I want to look like one. I want to be a Nazi. I want to look like one. And look at me. I do. I know this is between me and you. Otherwise, I would lose my job. But who knows? Maybe I could get that big, fat, blowhard Mr. Mediocrity to join me one afternoon. He might like. It's Ms. Sabowski. Your 3:30 is here. Oh, I'll be right there. I know what you're thinking. She's gone too far. But just remember, I said that he wants to be a Nazi. I didn't say he was a Nazi, did I? Besides, I'm the narrator. I'm 61 years old and have been treated like crap at this diploma mill for 30 stinking years. I'm letting all of the bitterness come out, okay? Okay? Okay. Plus, I just think it's funny. So sue me. Thank you for joining me for this episode of Campus, a novel that wants to be a musical. I would like to thank my sponsors, Angela Cantola and Don Wallace, for their help in supporting this podcast. Good friends are hard to find, and they are two of the best. I also want to thank Anchor, my podcast platform. All of the background music that you heard, except for during my really weird song, comes from Anchor. And also I'd like to thank Audacity, free open source multi-platform audio software. Without it, I could never have done this podcast. I am very grateful to them for making it possible for a little person like me who doesn't know anything about anything, is able to be creative and do this fun poddle. I appreciate it. Thanks so much, everybody, and come back next time.